Now to the film that's been praised very fairly as the funniest and most unorthodox history lesson of the year, and that in January took out the Best Documentary category at the European Film Awards. It's an unusual documentary about even more unusual events, involving a flamboyant Italian poet who was also a fascist, and the small European port city of Rijeka, which is now part of Croatia, but which was ruled by 8 different countries or political entities in the 20th century. And Rijeka is where filmmaker Igor Bezinovic grew up and where he made his highly original and fascinating historical documentary, Fiume o Morte, which means Fiume or Death. Igor Bezinovic, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you.
Now, before we get to the bizarre and sinister figure of Gabriel D'Annunzio, I wonder if you could tell us a bit about your hometown, the place you call Rijeka, but which hasn't always been called that either.
Yeah, sure. It was called Fiume as well. Fiume is the Italian equivalent of Rijeka. And both the word Fiume in Italian and Rijeka in Croatian mean river. So the river goes through the city. It's a small, short river, which divides two parts of the city, one which used to have an Italian majority and the other one which had a Croatian majority. As you can suppose, it led to many different political regimes in the 20th century, also to many conflicts, unfortunately. So I grew up in the city and as a kid was crossing this river on a daily basis. And I kept asking myself how come these were two different parts of a city that belonged to two different states. And it was fascinating history of my hometown, which I wanted to explore. So I chose this very particular moment in the history of hometown, which happened in 1919, 1920, in which this flamboyant Italian poet, Gabriele D'Annunzio, conquered the city, stayed there for 16 months until the official Italian army chased him out of the city. So I decided to involve a bunch of my co-citizens to help me recreate this story.
Yes, it's not every day that you hear the phrase, a poet who conquered a city. Tell us a little bit more about D'Annunzio's history and also how he's regarded in Italy, maybe compared to Rijeka or Croatia.
Sure. So to people who studied the literature, I think that Gabriele D'Annunzio is a well-known name. He was one of the most important Italian poets on the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. And he was a poet who was kind of a romanticist poet and also obsessed with the history, as many romantics are, especially by Italian history or Roman history or Venetian history. And all that narrative that led to fascism after the First World War. So he was a very, very particular individual. He became a celebrity very early in his life. He, at the age of 16, even told the media that he died so he would sell his poetry book more easily. and it turned out to be a good decision because he turned out to be a celebrity of his time. All the newspapers were writing about him, about his lifestyle, about his lovers and things like that. And he was also a very prolific author. So by the time that he conquered my hometown, he was already a big celebrity. He also was a volunteer in the First World War as a propagandist. He entered the war in his 50s. And he was a guy who loved the idea of war, of combat, of fighting. Although he wasn't in the trenches himself, he was a propagandist and he was an officer. But he still really loved the idea of war. And there's also a letter of his that he wrote after the First World War, in which he says to his friend, "For people like you and me, peace today is a tragedy." So he was really sad that the war is over. And I think it's, unfortunately, we are surrounded by politicians who share his political opinions today as well, which makes me very worried and very sad.
Yes, he was, in a sense, larger than life, but his life was really devastating for your hometown. Igor, when and how did you actually become aware of D'Annunzio's occupation of Fiume?
Yeah, I think this is a good question because I'll include the part of the answer that I didn't answer in your previous question, and that is about the discrepancy between the Italian and the local perception of Gabriele D'Annunzio. And it's very related to the fact how I got interested. When I was in my early 20s, I was spending a student semester in Padova in North Italy. And on a bookshelf in a local bookstore, I found a book about D'Annunzio's conquer of Rijeka, which was called Alla Festa della Rivoluzione, which means at the party of the revolution. And in that book, the whole event, the whole occupation was described as something positive, as something that anticipated 1968 and the student movement in Europe and the whole world in the 20th century. And it seemed very strange to me because when somebody would mention the name Gabriele D'Annunzio in my hometown, it would always, without a doubt, be related to fascism. So I asked myself, how come the story in Italy is so different than our local story? And I decided to tackle this subject by, as I said, asking my co-citizens what they think about it, how much they know about it, and whether they would like to act in the film, which they did with a lot of enthusiasm, as you saw.
So you decided to make a very original historical documentary about D'Annunzio and Rijeka. Now, when you're approaching a task like that, could you tell us a bit about what source material you found was and maybe also wasn't available to you?
The source material was crucial, I would say, because the whole film is based on photos and on films that were shot and taken in 1919-1920. And thanks to this rich archive material, I got a lot of inspiration, and a lot of reasons why I decided to do this film is precisely because the archive was so rich. The challenges that we had is how to choose the right materials to represent this historical point. Added that period, more than 10,000 photos were taken of this event. In the film, you'll see, I don't know, maybe 300 photos, which means that we basically had to exclude thousands of photos which were taken. And it's a partial representation of this historical event. But in the film, as you'll see, if you'll see it, I'm not hiding the fact that we're constructing a story. And I think it's always important when we think about history, always to remind ourselves and to stress that every historical story is always just a story. It's always just something that is told from a specific point of view. And even if we're trying and giving our best to use the right facts and to verify everything, we'll always have to make a selection. And that's what I'm not trying to hide in a film, that we're presenting a personal take on this event, not an objective story.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with filmmaker Igor Bezinovich about his historical documentary, Fiume o Morte, which is about the Italian fascist and poet Gabriele D'Annunzio's occupation of his hometown, now known as Rijeka. And you've described for us, Igor, the approach that you took, which was to recruit citizens of Rijeka to reenact key elements of D'Annunzio's occupation. And indeed, one of the really compelling parts of the film is to see that great archival material, which we see, and then it kind of dissolves into a person recreating that, but in the modern city of Rijeka, which is really fascinating. How and why did you come up with that technique?
The reason was because I understood that if we're going to disclose the fact that we're not presenting an objective story and that we're speaking from the perspective of the citizens of Rijeka today, then I simply told myself, then let's do it with the citizens of Rijeka. I decided to have them as my allies in a way, and there are multiple narrators who are narrating the story. The story is being narrated in two languages, in Croatian and in Fiumano dialect, which is a dialect of Italian. I also decided to use multiple characters to play Gabriele D'Annunzio and involve the community. And also this community building was important to me because I think that today we live in a world which is very individualistic, which I personally don't like, and that I have a feeling that the sense of community in cities, in villages, in countries, if you wish, is something that today in the world of in which we're all staring at our little smartphones in our hands, we need to have like common stories and something that we experience with our bodies in a specific place And that's why I did it. I involved a bunch of co-citizens. One of them, called Andrea Marsanic, who is one of the actors who plays D'Annunzio. He's, by the way, a radio host and a colleague of yours. So we had different professions who were involved, like from dustbin collectors, clerks, shipyard workers. Everybody who wanted to participate got a chance.
Yeah, it's a fantastic technique and has rich results on screen. Now, I don't know how many times you've been asked this question about your film, Igor, but since we are doing a radio interview with Australia, so far we've been speaking about Italian poetry and fascism and European towns and regimes. What does your film have to do with the platypus?
That's a great question. In a scene in the middle of a film, you'll see a platypus, actually, not a live one, but how do you say it in English? It's a stuffed platypus. One of D'Annunzio's officers, actually the most crazy officer, was called Guido Keller. And this guy was always trying to make pranks. And one of the pranks was that he stole a stuffed platypus from a natural history museum in Rijeka, brought it to D'Annunzio as a gift. And because of that, they named their favorite tavern platypus. So you'll see a scene with a platypus. It was actually pretty hard in Croatia to get the stuffed platypus. We couldn't find it in Rijeka nor in the surrounding cities or towns. So we found it in a high school inventory of a high school in Karlovac, which is a city between Zagreb and Rijeka. So the producers really had a hard time finding a stuffed platypus here. Another anecdote with the platypus is that I recently showed the film in Zagreb at the screening, and the Australian ambassador and his wife came to the screening. So when they approached me, the first thing that they congratulated me on was to have a platypus in the film.
Well, look, it is great to have the platypus in the film, but without wanting to impugn the morals or character of platypi generally, it's fair to say that the platypus in D'Annunzio's Fiume was a fairly licentious place because of all the qualities of D'Annunzio that we've mentioned so far. We haven't really got too much into his cocaine habit and his prodigious womanizing, but that was all pretty well focused on the platypus by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
The venue, not the animal.
Sure. I think that why this film screened so widely is because it's not a typical biopic. So I knew from the beginning that I'm not going to focus the film on the biography of D'Annunzio, because if you're curious about his biography on the internet and in the libraries, you can find like hundreds of books about him and anecdotes and everything. But I wanted to use his biography just as a motivation to tell something about my hometown and about the world we live in.
And for all the bizarreness of what happened when D'Annunzio was literally ruling Rijeka, could you just run us through the extraordinary devastation that his presence wrought on the town and the very unusual way that it was brought to an end?
Yeah, so he was invited to the town actually by the local Italian nationalists who wanted Fiume to be annexed to Italy. However, there were two more political currents in the city. One wanted to annex the city to Yugoslavia, which was founded back then. And the third one were the autonomists who wanted the city to be autonomous. So D'Annunzio came to the city basically as the foreigner. He didn't know the local dialect, but he was invited by the local, back then, nationalists. After a few years, they turned to be fascists. So he was there and he decided to stay there, although the citizens already 3 months after the start of the occupation organized the elections and decided he should go. However, he decided to stay for the next year. And the city was, throughout these 16 months of the occupation, under sanctions. So there was no work in the city. It was completely isolated from all sides and surrounded by Italian army. So after 16 months, the official Italian army decides to chase him out of the city. They come, and there is also a 5-day war in which both soldiers from the official Italian side and from D'Annunzio's side die. So it ends up in a bloodshed. And the paradox is that the casualties were almost entirely the people who weren't locals. So people from the city weren't the casualties. It was a bunch of Italian soldiers who came to fight in the city without even being from here.
And adds to the extraordinary irony of the fact that D'Annunzio is still so well regarded in Italy, even though his country invaded the territory that he took over to end his rule.
That sounds strange. I think you should see the film maybe to understand what the hell happened.
Yeah.
But the fact is that he proclaimed war on his own country, then came back to Italy and became a prince. So they didn't like shoot him in front of firing squads, which people usually do to dictators who proclaim war to their countries. But they gave him a villa and published his collected works and gave him a lot of presents and declared him a prince. So I don't think there's such a historical parallel, or at least I haven't heard of one that happened in the world so far.
Yeah. Igor, clearly the film has been very warmly and widely received, and the European Film Award is obviously one indication of that. Would you say that there's been a different character to audience reactions sort of by location in Rijeka, in Croatia, in Italy and beyond?
I'd say that in Croatia, it's the most viewed Croatian documentary of all time in the cinemas. In Rijeka, the city where the film was made and the events took place, is the most viewed film of all times in the cinema. So here it's like it became a common cultural fact. Fiume Morte. In Italy, we had a limited distribution in alternative cinemas. I don't think in Italy it would get to Rai, their national TV, but that would be something amazing. But all around the world, wherever I presented it, people could make parallels with their own local dictators, with local propaganda, with nationalism that they encounter in their own countries. So I think the film offers us also some universal touch, and it's easily approachable by general audiences, kind of a political crowd pleaser, I'd say.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that this reconstruction technique using ordinary citizens that you've adopted totally works brilliantly in the finished product. I wonder, though, Igor, could you tell us a little bit about what you personally, and maybe the members of the cast, as far as you're aware, got from the process of making the film that way?
Many actors, the main ones, are stopped by the streets by the passerbys. The people are taking photos with them. So I think that many of them just enjoy the process. And although they weren't aware while they were participating in the film, I think that they weren't aware what the film will be like, because the film was sort of a work in progress. Also, for me, I wasn't sure how it's going to end up. But when we had this first screening in Rijeka, in our local cinema, we invited all people who appeared in front of the camera and the crew behind the camera, and they just loved it. And they were laughing during the whole screening. They were applauding. They were laughing even in the places that where they weren't supposed to laugh, because they saw a neighbor on the street or something. So it was like a great, great local event that we'll never forget. So it means a lot to the local community.
Well, congratulations, Igor, on Fiume Morte. It's an amazing and highly original work, which has been viewable in Australia recently at the Antenna Documentary Festival. Hopefully it'll be viewable in Australia by other means before long soon, but it's been great speaking with you on Sunday Extra. Thank you very much and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Julian. Have a nice day.
And Igor Bozinovic is the creator of Fiume Morte, and in January it took out the Best Documentary category at the European Film Awards.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.